With the 15th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns select Steve Nash from the University of Santa Clara.
Steve Nash was a bona fide, legitimate, quintessential point guard who could really, really shoot the rock.
And welcome to the seventh episode of the Pop and Joe podcast, our all-special Canadiana episode today.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, yes. And how are you doing today, Joe Franchise Nurse?
I'm doing pretty good, Pop. It's not snowing outside, and there's a lot to be happy about. I mean, although one great Canadian career is ending, you know, you can sit back and look back on something like that very happily.
True. And actually, it's one of those times where rain is appropriate, as it is right now. And
a little
rain
sad.
Is also a little happy because it's not snow.
That is true. It is not snow. Although people still drive like it's snowing outside, which is really bothering Joe.
Well, we're nice and warm inside right now.
That so is true.
That doesn't matter. But yes, you alluded to this past weekend. Not unsurprisingly, I would assume, but officially, news that Steve Nash has retired from the NBA and from the Los Angeles Lakers. This sounds weird saying that, Steve Nash of the Los Angeles
yeah.
Lakers, but that is the case there. And
we've had two awkward Canadian retirings this year, haven't we? With Martin Brodeur retiring a St. Louis Blue and Steve Nash retiring a Los Angeles Laker. Not the way you wish both of them would have gone out. Definitely a different jersey would have came to mind when you look at those two players.
Agreed. Although I would say that the way the Lakers and Steve Nash have handled it was a lot better. At least in my mind, it seemed to come across a lot better from viewing it from afar. So today we will definitely be the main topic will be his retirement. And Joe and I might get into a little fisticuffs as we debate who the greatest Canadian athlete might be in terms of who we might decide which one of it is.
Yeah, we're expecting heated argument. Definitely heated argument. I don't know about the fisticuffs. I'm a little bit lazy. I'm starting to mail it in a little early these days.
What day do you not mail it in?
None. Saturday I go pretty hard.
And
other
actually,
than that, none.
You know, I have to admit, you are right in one thing. You are a little far across the table right now.
Yeah, so I'm not walking all that way.
So yeah, we're not going to do it. But let's start off with Nash. And first of all, what memory do you have of him? Anything special that sticks out to you?
I think when you need to explain Steve Nash to absolutely anybody in the world, whether it be in basketball or in another sport or in another country, Steve Nash broken nose playing through it with his eyes completely puffed up, looking like a raccoon, wearing the plastic face mask. Still flow looking great, though, I got to say. The hair looked good, but listening to every single commentator say, oh, look at Steve Nash out there bringing that Canadian attitude, that hockey mentality to the basketball court. I just think that was Steve Nash mentality. And that was something I was always proud to see, knowing that he was a Canadian and knowing that when Steve Nash was out there, he gave you 120%. Whereas there's been a lot of times we've questioned certain athletes in basketball or any other sport, where they were the top caliber player, but they weren't maybe the highest caliber when it came to fighting through it. So I think that, for me, is my fantastic Steve Nash moment that I will always talk about.
And I think for me, I have a personal special moment, which has nothing to do with how great he was as a player. And I'll get to that in a second. But for me, when I think about Steve Nash, and the one thing that always sticks out is, you talk about his skill set, you talk about what he brought to the game, and what a great basketball player he was. But it never ends there. With Steve Nash, it's always, he was a great basketball player, and he was a great person.
Right.
Or a great teammate, or a great something else. You cannot exclude who he is as a person off the court as much as the good he did on the court. And that, to me, made me very proud that he was a Canadian and in that way. But the personal moment came involves, again, my youngest son, or I should say my oldest son. I had season tickets to the Raptors, And apart from anything to do with Raptor, Steve Nash was my favorite player. I can say that now. Missed the opportunity the first year to go see him because we got our season's tickets late. Second year, could not go see him play. He was playing with the Dallas Mavericks at the time. And why couldn't I see him play? It was because my oldest son was being born.
Selfish.
Selfish, right? Like, I mean, really. Alex, I blame you. I missed an opportunity to see Steve Nash play.
Well, at least we know he's your kid. You guys got bad timing.
Right. So the next year, I sent an email to Chuck Swirsky, and I missed Chuck. Nothing against Matt Devlin. I think Matt Devlin does a fantastic job.
No, Chuck is a fantastic guy. I've talked to him when I was in elementary school, and he was just a great person.
And I mentioned this side of my tale to Chuck Swirsky, and I said, hey, you know, I'm finally going to have an opportunity to see Steve Nash play live. I'm bringing my son, Alex, who's 1 year old, to the ACC. I would really appreciate it if you would just do a shout out to him. And sure enough, I have a recording of him saying happy birthday to Alexander Passarelli, celebrating his first birthday at the ACC. And as he's saying that, whose image is on the screen but Steve Nash? Moment I will always cherish.
That is very cool.
That was very special for me. So thank you to Chuck, and Steve, unwittingly to you, thank you to you as well.
That is really cool. I mean, that's something I think everybody felt about Steve Nash. I will say, I'm going to get this out of the way very early. Steve Nash always had a positive image for me. However, his last 3 years, the start of that gave me a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth. And I wouldn't be afraid to say this to him personally. I didn't like the way he handled his move to LA. And there's one reason why, and you might disagree with me. Stick with me. Right before Steve Nash went to the Los Angeles Lakers, he was named the general manager of Team Canada Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash then had a deal with the Toronto Raptors for, I think, around $18 million a year for two years, if I'm not mistaken, that was floating around, that they'd been speculating that the Raptors were going after Steve Nash.
I'm not sure exactly how much it was, but I think it was in the ballpark.
Sure. The money, I guess, is not necessarily as much of the factor. More so, it's the contracts situation that is the factor to my bitterness. He was originally only getting he was getting less of an offer from the LA Lakers until that supposed Toronto Raptors contract came out. And granted, I don't know if this happened, but it seemed like the Raptors were used as a little bit of leverage to get a little bit of a better contract to go to the LA Lakers. And I thought that was just very misopportune timing. And it did leave me with a little sour taste in my mouth because I was like, you know what, Steve? The Lakers aren't as good as you think they are. And you could have completely knocked it out of the park, being the general manager of Team Canada Basketball, playing for the only Canadian team in the NBA, coming home. And instead, it kind of felt like he used the team as leverage. Now, I might be wrong, and I would love to ask him that personally. It's no attack on the person. I've heard only great things about him, but I don't know. Is it me being kind of overly negative about the situation, or do I have a legitimate gripe?
In the situation itself, I remember the time frame very much. And I remember at the time, before I get into whether I think you're right or wrong, I even questioned whether Nash coming at this stage to Toronto, I didn't know whether that'd be a good move or not.
Sure.
But what I see in you is not that you're necessarily being overly negative, but I think you have what I like to call the Toronto hockey stick up your butt.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
You are just, nothing ever good happens to Toronto. You know, you have to go back 20 years before this team had a championship. And so you look at the situation and go, yeah, no, Steve Nash used it. No, it had nothing to do with that. I mean, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the Raptors did offer more money than what the Lakers, what he wound up signing with the Lakers for.
Mm-hmm.
The word that I heard from Steve Nash himself, the word that I heard from Brian Colangelo, who was the manager of the Raptors at that time and mm-hmm. who spoke just a couple of days ago, was that the only reason why he picked L.A., or the main reason why he picked L.A., not only because he thought he may have had a chance for a championship,
mm-hmm.
but his kids lived in Los Angeles. It was a family decision to be sure. with his kids. And nothing will say Steve Nash more than, my family's more important than basketball. And I can't hold any begrudgment on that. And if you want to keep that Toronto hockey stick firmly rooted up your butt, which I still have in mind, it turned out to be the best move for Toronto anyway. So
I know.
So right, the heck with it that way, right?
Yeah, but, I know. I don't know. For me, that little situation, I just wasn't overly happy about. But it's not necessarily a shot at Steve Nash, because I don't think he on purpose did it. I just thought the timing of it all came at a very, very misopportune time.
No. And I see, for me, I wasn't aware of there being any talk with the Lakers beforehand.
Yes.
I mean, I knew from the fact that the Raptors from the get-go,
yeah.
When free agency opened, that they were after them. I always thought it was a last-minute thing. I think the first time that they approached him, Steve Nash thought it was a joke, that LA was actually interested in him, because his first comment was, really? What does Kobe think? And actually had to wait for a phone call from Kobe Bryant,
yeah.
stating, hey, you know, I'd really actually like to have you here. Because there was a war between the two of them, or between both teams, I should say. I think the Phoenix Suns, lost two or three times to the Lakers?
Yep.
And, so that had to take place, and it was one of those last-minute things. And I honestly believe it had more to do with his family and his kids, because that seems to be more in his nature.
Yeah. Well, to get back on a positive note for Steve Nash, looking at his two MVP years, like just fantastic, fantastic resume, you know, for the Canadian-born Steve Nash. His first year, he won his MVP in the 04-05 season. He beat out Shaq, and only by, if I can do my calculation correctly, 8%. He was at a 65% rating compared to Shaq's 58%. And you know who the closest person was to him in Shaq?
And mean who came in third?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, yeah, who came in third?
No, I do not know. Who was it?
Dirk Nowitzki. Do you know the difference between the points between Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki was?
In terms of just points alone?
Voted on.
Okay, no.
About 700. Shaq only missed the mark by about 34 points to be MVP there. Now, for me, when I think of Shaq, I put Shaq into a position that's very specified. It's a different type of air, not necessarily rarefied, but there was a lull between the LeBron James and Michael Jordan era. There was that quiet little, every couple years a new person was dubbed the best in the world. But I think the key people forget was, I think Shaq was probably the most dominant. Whether he was the best or not doesn't necessarily have to do in the argument. I just think Shaq was probably the most dominant player in between those two superstars, the two, you know, kings. For a guy like Steve Nash, the little white guy from Canada, to do that, good on him, looking back on that, to beat the big Diesel.
I look at those scenarios and even going prior to it and say, how do you look at it? I've had people complain that, you know, maybe you shouldn't have won those MVP. I agree that, you know, Shaq was probably the most dominant person. I mean, you can't forget somebody like Kobe either.
For sure.
During those years. But I have to go back to what I looked at initially. And we heard the clip on the onset. In the 15th position, the Phoenix Suns draft from Santa Clara. Who?
Yep.
What school is Santa Clara? Canadian Steve Nash. Who? I had no idea who this guy was. I heard a Canadian, went, oh, great. Next year or two, didn't hear anything about him in Phoenix. I really didn't start appreciating who he was until his time with Dallas and with Dirk. And I think that's part of his allure, is that he came so much under the radar. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody expected him to get this far. You know, Colangelo even said, you know, we drafted him, but we didn't think he'd be a two-time back-to-back MVP.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, again, goes to him off the court. He made himself better. He got himself better. His work ethic, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't want to get into too much depth, because I have a feeling we're going to be starting a debate soon about greatest athlete, a Canadian athlete. And I'm not going to give you all my ammo right now. So.
That's fine. See, you were touching on his MVPs and whether or not you could potentially I mean, whether or not he not necessarily deserved both, more so was the second one warranted? And that's one thing I was just looking up here. He beat out LeBron James, Dirk Nowitzki, and Kobe Bryant. And this time there wasn't the disparity in the voting. I mean, LeBron James was like 260 points away, like voting-wise, from Steve Nash. And this is 21-year-old LeBron James, who at this point had already cemented himself
as the next best.
And he was definitely tasked to take a Cleveland team that had not much going on and threw them right on his shoulders and took them very far until, you know, Tim Duncan ended that one.
Quickly.
That probably felt like deja vu, when he was in Miami. He's just like, man, again, every time I feel like I'm going to make a push, Tim Duncan shuts her down. But I think what was always fantastic about watching Steve Nash, it reminds me of something that was said about, and I think it was Gretzky who said it, an assist is worth just as much as a goal. And a lot of the times in North American sports, it's not. You don't think of it as it is. And there's a lot of places where in any sport, you think of the person who finished it off, not who started it up. That's where I think I was the most proud watching Steve Nash win those MVPs, because Steve Nash, his passing was fantastic to watch. I mean, you used to sit there and say, in what world did you see that pass working? I've never seen somebody throw a behind-the-back pass so nonchalant in my life.
Or between the legs.
Yeah, or between the legs behind the back. And the whole other team was just sitting there like, are you serious? Like, everybody's in position. He had this amazing ability to create plays out of nothing. And it mimics a lot of what we talk about when we talk about Canadian greats in hockey. They create something out of nothing.
Yes, and I have to agree with you. And while I'm going to respond to that, look up the following year.
Sure.
Because a lot of people start talking about, you know, maybe that Nash shouldn't have won one of those two, or maybe shouldn't have won both of them. But they always forget to remind that the following year, Dirk Nowitzki won when probably Nash should have won.
His third in the 06-07.
Right. So
yeah, so he should have had three.
The possibilities, I mean, the argument back and forth. My point being is that regardless of however you want to look at it,
yep,
at the end of the day, he is back-to-back MVPs, and you can't take that away from it. And I think he deserves to be MVP of the year. And the reason being, when you start mentioning about, you know, value of an assist or a goal or a basket, you know, people love slagging Phil Kessel. He has a very specific skill set. It takes something to be able to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
And, you know, 30 goal season for so many years, et cetera, that is something that is special. But when you look at Steve Nash, when you look at the vision that he had on the court, he just made the people around him better. And that doesn't get as much credit, but is probably more influential in a team sport than an individual goal is. And I go back to one of my favorite, I think it was Nike commercial for him, where, you know, the commercial is about Steve Nash, but all they start showing about is, you know, Rajah Bell and Boris Dia and how they were having career highs. Oh, yeah, they're having career highs because Steve Nash was passing them the ball.
Right.
In the right spot at their best prime location to be successful. And that's what he studied. That's what he knew. How do you make people around him better? And that's why I was so happy that he won those awards, because that's the right way to play the game. And I want to see that emulated more.
Well, to follow up on your point on the 07 MVP, Dirk Nowitzki, he won with only 125 more votes than Steve Nash. Dirk Nowitzki had 1,138 votes. Steve Nash had 1,013. And in that case, I mean, you can definitely argue, big deal, he should have had two out of the three. So he should have had two in the first place.
Right.
So when you sit there and you think of Steve Nash, if we were to have a supposed Mount Rushmore of Canadian athletes.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, we got to come up with something better than Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore?
Because that's an American thing. Okay, no disrespect to our American listeners out there. By the way, I think we actually had one American listener.
Did we?
Yeah, we got a tweet on Twitter and said that they heard our spring training podcast and liked it. So
that's awesome.
That's one American person. So shout out to the USA. And if you're able to watch us, I'm waving a USA
He's
flag right
it.
Now.
Okay, so what? Like a Mont Tremblant?
A Mont Tremblant, yes.
Or a Niagara Falls.
No,
there's
that's
no
over
faces.
The cliff going down. That's just a bad
that's
image.
Unless it's frozen, right, you can go up it.
Then let... Well, leave okay, your frozen well, go, you know go what, with we'll Mont Tremblant. I mean, like, come on. You had it there. Let's leave it there.
You know what? We'll shout that one out to Twitter. What should be Canada's name for our Mount Rushmore? Because we don't know what it is, so we should find out what it is.
Correct.
So, but Pop, when you think about it, where is his bust placed on that mountainous range that we have not named yet? Because I will say this. For as good as Steve Nash was in those 2 years, I don't know if you would have started a team with him, depending on the rest of the players still around in that league at the time.
Understood.
And that's my little debate, but where would you put him, and I'll come back to you.
Okay. Well, the question becomes is, when you put people up there, if we're looking at greatest Canadian athletes, what are your criteria?
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, we could name a few that maybe belonged up there. I think the first person's name that comes to everybody's mind is Wayne Gretzky. And I don't know if that's who you would have at the top peak or not. And then there's a number of other Canadians that can certainly deserve to be on a four person bust. But I like Steve Nash to be right up there, either alongside or ahead of Gretzky.
Really?
Yes, I would rank him that highly for a number of reasons. The first of which has nothing to do with statistics. Now, I know everybody loves stats, and if you want to talk about who dominated their sport more, hands down, Gretzky dominated hockey more than Nash dominated basketball. Gretzky was a very respectable figure. He's a well-known figure. Canadians get that stick out because it's ice hockey. And if you look at the number of ice hockey federations that are around the world, which I did, only 73 countries have ice hockey federations. If you look to basketball, you know how many countries have basketball federations?
140.
215. I think there's only 229 countries in the world.
I mean,
or something
point
like that.
Proven, even if you're wrong at 215.
It's basketball, I think, other than soccer, is the most global sport. And I think when you have a player of that caliber in a sport that is so global, it has a much bigger impact. And that's why I would rank Nash up there. And on top of that, you have a situation where you have much more. Again, he played the game the right way. Not saying that Gretzky didn't.
Sure.
Gretzky was a true visionary. But you always have to love, at least in terms of I do, a person that plays for his teammates. And then there's nothing that you can say in terms of against Steve Nash about his competitiveness. Like you said before, you know, one eye closed, broken nose, still coming on, still trying to make shots, and still trying to make his teammates better and his team better. He left it all on the court, and nobody can ever deny him that.
Well, where I think I would place Steve Nash is in that tier in Canadian sports history where everyone will say, oh, yeah, he was awesome. But I don't ever think he will typify what Canadian sports is about. And that's, I think, because of the hockey stick. I don't disagree with you there. I think maybe, and I'd love to think... I'd love to hear what you think. Fergie Jenkins, Donovan Bailey, Steve Nash. That's the level I see Steve Nash looking forward, going forward. The only reason why is because I believe whatever this, you know, mammoth thing that we would build for Canadian athletes would be, it would still have Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky, or Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, at the top of that building. And right underneath, I think you would say, well, who's probably the best Canadian baseball player of all time? Well, I'd probably say Fergie Jenkins. You can say, who's the best amateur athlete in Canadian history? Well, you're definitely going to say Donovan Bailey. And who's the best basketball player in Canadian history? And then I think you would say Steve Nash. Do you think that's maybe the better place on the future outlook of Steve Nash being a high-end Canadian athlete?
Not necessarily. And here's my point.
You'd move him up, eh?
I'd move him up simply because let's take Canadian history, Canadian sports history, because we don't do Canadian history. What if Gretzky wasn't around?
But he is.
What if he wasn't?
Mario Lemieux.
What if Mario Lemieux? There's always going to be somebody.
Sure.
There's always going to be a Rocket Richard. There's always going to be a Doug Pint. There's always going to be
Sidney Crosby.
There's always going to be there.
Sure.
You take away Nash from basketball, from Canada, and you do not have your Anthony Bennett's and your Andrew Wiggins, who are just starting up now, right, who look back to him and Vince Carter, not American, but I'll say it wasn't only on Steve Nash,
right,
but he had a huge part of it. You take away him, you've lost the opportunity to grow this game, and a lot of it has to do with him. So that's why when I look at why I don't necessarily value, I don't want to even say value, because obviously I love Gretzky and Lemieux both. There was always another hockey player to put in there. There always has been. There always will be. It's only now that we see somebody that has sparked a country into something better. Even Ferguson Jenkins. I mean, you can look down the road. It wasn't until, I want to say, what, 97, 98, with Larry Walker won the National League MVP.
MVP.
And even since then, there's been three Canadians. So, like, I mean, baseball is starting to expand. You don't necessarily tie that back to Ferguson Jenkins. So I'm interested to see in terms of how that came about. But when it comes to basketball, yes. You know, what he did for Canada and get us into the qualifying rounds and into the Olympics, like, again, something incredible, was inspiring.
Well, I think what you're maybe hitting the nail on the head with is that Steve Nash could potentially be more so of a father of Canadian basketball than the father of basketball.
Exactly.
And that I definitely don't disagree with you. I think his influence is definitely something that can be seen, because when somebody... I remember I have family that lives in Arizona, and I was there when Nash was there with Stoudemire, and, you know, they were just an offensive juggernaut. You know, two of my cousins didn't know he was Canadian. They just knew that he was Steve Nash. Like, they didn't care. And I think that is probably the greatest compliment a non-American player can have in one of the big American sports.
Yep.
And I'm not saying, again, Canadian fans, I'm not saying that basketball is a American sport, because I understand we invented it. But what I'm saying is that it's dominated by Americans, just like, you know, the way the NFL is dominated by Americans, the way baseball is dominated by Americans. And when somebody can sit there who's at least in his 20s and completely be ignorant of the fact, and this is not in a negative tone of light, that just say, oh man, I didn't even know Steve Nash was Canadian. He didn't care. He just thought that Steve Nash is the best point guard in the NBA. And at the time, you couldn't argue that. That, I think, is probably one of the most fantastic things that Steve Nash can look back and say, yeah, you know what? I may be a Canadian, but I am an MVP NBAer, first off. And I think maybe this might be, you know, the Canadian pride, where we like to be Canadian, but we don't like to throw it in your face. And I think that just typifies the type of people we are, where that I would rather Steve Nash be known as an MVP point guard
than a Canadian.
Than a Canadian, because to us, we know what he is. But when somebody can sit there and say, you know, John Stockton, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, in whichever order you want, but then you sit back there and you say, yeah, that's our boy.
You know, and just add to who they are as people. And again, I'll combine, you know, Gretzky. Canadians love their heroes. But they love their heroes that are humble. And Nash and Gretzky, both very humble in terms of the presented. I like the fact, comparing the two, you know, Gretzky with managing the Canadian Olympic team, finally win gold after 50 years. Nash now taking over the reins of the Canadian team. Hopefully in I don't want to put the pressure on and say a golden era, but certainly with the number of Canadians that are in the
it has a NBA potentiality to
has
be
potential
era.
And young players yeah. that are up and coming, and I wish them all the best of luck. But compare them again, Nash and Gretzky head to head, two separate categories.
Sure.
One, I don't think either of them played defense.
No.
I think Nash may have been smart enough to play defensively, use his angles, use his body. Still not, you know, a great defender, but I think he was able to cover a bit of the holes that were done. I don't recall Gretzky doing that, nor should we have expected him to block a shot or anything of that nature. But I'd say both of them poor when it comes to defenders.
Sure. Defensive. I think their offense, though, helped stop them from being stuck in the defensive zone, right?
Exactly.
But I agree.
But here's something that I'm curious about. Leadership. I think Nash led his team.
Sure.
By far. Gretzky, and here's where I have a difficulty.
Oh, it was Messier's team.
Messier was the more vocal, obviously, of the
right.
two. And that's the one thing that to me, where I have, again, Nash in terms of slightly ahead of Gretzky, was that leadership quality. And it's a quality that's so hard to define.
This is the most hockey conversation about a basketball player you've ever had. You understand this, right? You're quantifying something that you can't actually visibly, tangibly calculate. It's
right,
like the most
Canadian right.
thing
no,
ever.
I agree.
Like, no,
I
his
agree.
Leadership. No, I'm not.
But I'm going to turn it around and still say that Steve Nash was better.
Sure,
but anyway.
You know what? I'm not disagreeing with you. I think he was a great leader. I'm just saying it's funny that we're trying to not sound like a bunch of hockey heads, and we're like, you know, he's a glue guy. You know, he's a guy you need in the room. You know, sorry, continue.
But I like I said, when it comes to leadership, I'd have to give Nash the edge in that side, simply because he didn't have a Messier that, I mean, you saw what Messier did when he became a Ranger afterwards and led them to a Stanley Cup. I don't think that Gretzky was, you know, that he wasn't a good leader. It's just that he did it in a different way. And I'm not sure in terms of, and again, that's why I would give the edge to Nash in that side.
Now, I have a question for you. And now here's the reason why I kind of place Steve Nash in the second tier pecking order of all-time greats. Although I do think he's absolutely an all-time great Canadian
We're
athlete.
Not dissing any Gretzky or Nash here. But if you want to send the nasty letters, go ahead.
Yeah, as long as bad publicity is publicity. We'll take anything. So if you were to sit around a table in the 80s, and because you were there, and they were orange and wooden and stuff, and you said, okay, who are we going to start a hockey team with? You would say Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
If you were to be sitting around in 1995 going into 96 thinking, okay, who are we going to get to run the 100 meter? You're going to say Donovan Bailey.
Yes.
When you sit around a table in 05, 06, even 07, are you going to sit there and think, I'm going to start a team with Steve Nash?
You know, I did.
You really?
And the reason being is, and here's where I go with this. LeBron, Shaq, even Kobe have proven one thing. You can't win a championship by yourself.
That is true.
I know Nash may not have had the best people around him, but compared to the three of them, I think Nash was better at making the people around him into better players. He put people in the right positions. He got people the ball at the right time. It's a shame that he and Kobe played at the tail end of their careers together.
Yeah.
I would have loved to seen both of them at their prime.
4 years
in terms
before
of
they got together.
What they could have done.
Yeah.
I look at, you know, Kobe won 5.
I believe so, yeah.
3 with Shaq.
Yeah, 2 with Powell.
Jordan, everybody keeps saying, you know, Jordan had Pippen. Pippen never gets credit. You know,
No.
Pippen never gets love, does he?
Oh, man, neither does Rodman. And without Rodman...
No, and you need those players and stuff like
that. Drink.
And you look at that situation again, and that's what becomes difficult in terms of team game. And I think that's why as I get older, yes, I can still get older even at my old age.
Mm-hmm. But he's almost hitting Roman numerals.
oh God, even as I get older,
yeah,
I am slowly taking back my stance on athletes that have not won a championship. I used to have that knock against Dan Marino for never winning one. Used to have that knock against Charles Barkley.
Yeah, see, I'm not a fan of that stuff.
And now when I keep looking at it more and more going, you know how hard it is to win a championship and the amount of circumstances that have to go into it. So, yeah, I am lessening my critique of people that don't win a championship, and same for Nash.
I think what hurts Nash's case for me being the best Canadian athlete ever is that I would sit there and probably say Kobe or LeBron or at that time too Dwayne Wade. Like there was players that I would have chosen over him. However, in at his position, no. During his peak years, I would have absolutely taken Steve Nash at the one. He would have been my point guard, guaranteed. However, if you sit me in a fantasy draft, but in the real world, not stats, I wouldn't take Steve Nash at his best. But maybe, you know, he would make my team guaranteed. But I'm just saying he wouldn't be my number one. Whereas I think when I think of great Canadian athletes, I think of no matter what situation I'm in at their time, there is no way in hell I'm taking anybody else other than them.
And here's, well, let me look at that and or add to that. Doesn't that still make it even more wonderful in terms of what Nash has done? Because if you go into hockey, you know, you have what, your two or three year players that might in a generation.
For sure. Each generation has at least five where you think back and you're like, my God.
But in basketball, there is more than just a handful, right? And in hockey, we haven't even started talking about goalies in the same equation.
Sure, sure.
Right? But, I mean, you're looking at a basketball, and like you said, you know, you would have had a Kobe or a Shaq or a LeBron, you know, or Dwayne Wade, and you're looking at it going, these are Hall of Famers.
Right.
You know, these
and generational talents.
And there is a multitude of them, and you're mentioning Steve Nash in the same breath as they are. And that's to me why, like, again, because there's so much more competition for it, you know, there's only 12 players on a basketball team, 15. You know, there's 20 plus on a hockey team. So, again, it's just that level of competition. And he was the only Canadian ever to be in that rarefied air.
For sure.
And he handled himself with class.
I think talking about before, when you look at players like Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux or any great Canadian athlete or period, any great athlete, the one thing you usually pay attention to is what players can do around them and what those same players did without them. I remember when the Raptors got Leandro Barbosa. Everyone's like, oh, this guy's the best number six man in the league.
Brazilian blur.
Yeah, for sure he is, because when Nash and the boys are out there, everyone's dead tired. And then when he comes on, another unit comes on that is not as good. You saw Amari Stoudemire. He's had some injuries, but his first one or two years, I think, outside of Phoenix, he wasn't as injury prone as he became later on in his career. He was not the same player. You look at Sean Marion without Steve Nash. Everyone realized he might be a little bit more of a headache than he's a talent. That's, I think, the greatest compliment any great athlete can always get. I mean, Dave Semenko scored 35 goals with Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Instead of Pylon, could score 40.
Who was the defenseman that came to the Leafs that everybody hated?
Murphy.
Murphy.
Larry Murphy.
Power play specialist. Hold on a second.
No,
power play specialist.
Not here.
Pass to Lemieux, pass to Jágr, pass to Murray. Murphy.
Right, score. To Francis, yeah.
Oh, wait a second. But to illustrate your point further, exactly.
Right, yeah. And then, so for me, I think the greatest compliment Steve Nash could get is he made other people have careers. Because his was already set in stone that he was going to be one of the best point guards of his time. But to be arguably, like we're having this conversation right now, one of the best Canadian athletes of his time, and sit there with two MVPs, potentially a third. He missed out by, 120 points to his former teammate in Dirk Nowitzki, who has nothing but great things to say about Steve Nash. Good on Steve Nash. That is fantastic. And there's a lot of times when Canadians won't beat their chest and say, you know what, he's our boy. But Steve Nash is definitely the type of time where we look up and say, oh, yeah.
He is.
He's our boy.
I mean, you look at, again, you know, third in assists in the entire NBA. That alone tells you in terms of working.
Yeah, obviously, behind Stockton and Kidd.
Obviously, longevity of his career, you know, he kept his body in great shape. His demeanor was fantastic. I remember there was a series of commercials with him and Landon Donovan, and shout out, because he loved soccer so much. There is these, you know, really funny commercials where he poked so much fun at himself. And I think that's another Canadian thing. Never took himself so seriously.
For sure.
Where he was trying to make the, you know, the LA Galaxy team, and Donovan just wouldn't pay him any mind. It was hilarious. But that's the kind of people that we as Canadians fall in love. They can't just be good. They have to be good people. And you look at any of the ones we mentioned that'll be on our Mount Tremblant, they all seem to be good people. And that's... I'm actually trying to think of now. Do you have any Canadian athlete that comes to your mind that
was a bad dude?
Yeah, I was going to use a word that I was going to bleep out, but...
Yeah, you know, okay. Not to come out and bash the
guy. No. But a bad attitude?
I think I do.
Go ahead.
I think it's the main reason why I believe Martin Brodeur is a better choice as the best goalie of all time than Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
Now, my actual reasoning is that Martin Brodeur was the complete package. If Patrick Waugh left his crease, the entire fan base held their breath. The guy couldn't play the puck. He was overly cocky and used to make a lot of very stupid mistakes that used to cost a goal. It didn't cost him the game, don't get me wrong, but everybody remembers...
Did against Colorado.
Yeah, it did when he was with Colorado. It did when he decided to leave the Montreal Canadiens because he couldn't handle getting, you know, pumped because him and a coach didn't get along. Yep. Granted, I'm not blaming him for that, but there's a handful of guys in the world that would say, you know what, screw you, I'm out. I think Patrick Waugh has a little bit of a, you know, dirty laundry list where when you think about Patrick Waugh, you kind of not hold back, you talk about him in a very great light because he's a fantastic goalie, but that's where the sentence ends. And I think that kind of sucks.
It does. It does. Yeah, because I too wanted to go to Disney World. But
I can't hear what Jeremy say. I got my two Stanley Cup ring plug in my ear. Nobody else would say that. But, you know what I mean? Like another Canadian guy would be like, what are you going to do? I'm giving 110%. We're going to go out there and try hard.
Oh, yeah. But you know, when you have somebody like Jeremy Roenicke, this is everybody. Yeah, and he's such true. a fun person in the sport.
Yeah.
And a bit of a douche himself. it was almost nice to see Patrick respond in that manner, like get into the job. But yes, we don't like to see our athletes hang their dirty laundry outside.
Yeah.
And like I said, that move on the bench was like,
whoa,
there was a better place for it to happen. And but you're right. He is one probably the few athletes that people say, what a fantastic goalie. Very well. Arguably, if I had a chance to, I would have him
play your game seven.
Play my game seven in the World Cup. And I'd have a beer with the rest of the team. But yes, yeah, I can go on there. But even with him, it's almost like it's not that bad.
No, absolutely. You know,
it's not like...
If this was football with the attitudes and the personalities you have in football, you'd just be like, he's just a confident guy. Yeah. But in Canada, you're like, you can't do there, bud. You got to be nice.
For the NFL, it's like, hey, my name is Joe. Your name is Tony. What did you get arrested for? I got arrested for... Yeah. What did you get arrested for?
What do you think you are? I think I'm the best damn player there is, period, ever. Whereas in Canada, you better think you're at best the third. But I think looking back on it, we were all privileged to watch Steve Nash play basketball. We're all privileged to know that Steve Nash can proudly sing O Canada with any one of us. And I think I definitely hope to see Steve Nash in the Hall of Fame once this is done. And I would hope to God that absolutely everything is done for Steve Nash in Canada to always recognize him as one of the greatest athletes we've ever had in
definitely.
This country.
I have to agree with you. You don't want to shower him too much because he's the kind of person that, you know, very humbly what he said in terms of he doesn't think that, you know, it was just all him. You know what, Steve? It was. It was. I'd like to thank you as well from the rest of this country for, you know, representing us very, very proudly and honestly, and just doing what you do best. So thank you very much. And yes, you will be a first-time Hall of Famer, guaranteed.
Well, Steve, you're a very humble guy. Sadly, we're not. So you're welcome for being on, hands down, the best podcast in the world, Pop and Joe. Thanks for listening. And if there's a spot in the Hall of Fame, give us a show. We want it.
Be good, boys.
1-2-1-2. Mic check. 1-2-1-2. Yeah. Yeah, from the land of the lost, trans-Canada cross, patriotic in a honor with my hand on my heart. From the greatest of lakes, to the greenest of greens, to the rockiest mountains and everything in between. Oh Canada, oh, you're no fan of us, cause a movie and TV shows are so amateur. Yeah, we laugh it off, that don't really bother me. Look, we ain't serious unless we...